Okay, this is long overdue to speak about this tzaddik. Anybody know who I'm referring to?
You.
Start up. No, no. Bashem Tov HaKadosh.
Whoa. That was close.
It's your talking. Shavuos is the Yahrzeit, and we're only a week away. I was always intimidated to speak about the Bashem Tov. First of all, there's so many stories about the Bashem Tov HaKadosh. Where do you begin? Where do you end? So we're gonna jump in a little bit. If I was a higher person, I would be shaking in trepidation to speak about the Bashem Tov HaKadosh.
He would have loved you.
Yeah.
He would have loved you.
Yeah. No hasaga at all. Yeah. So Bashem Tov is well known. He lost his parents at a very young age, and he found his way into the Nestorim, and he had a lot of different rebbes as a youngster, as a yosam. At the age of 26, he was still a Nister, and for those 10 years, from 26 to 36, he was leading a very quiet group of tzaddikim nistarim. And then it was decided in the heavens that he should be in his gala. And the tzaddikim said about the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Rishner and others, that everything which we have today is because of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And I believe it. If a Yid makes a krachs and he says, Eibishter, it's because of the influence of the Baal Shem Tov in the world. We're not going to speak about the life of the Baal Shem Tov. You can listen to Rav Weinberger's series on that and others. We're going to speak about, like normally, you know, Sipuri Tzedikim, Kedai Keinu. But it's a special schos to be able to speak about the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Skolia Rebbe was an enikel of Baal Shem Tov, and he would tell this over on the second day of Shavuos, which is the yahrzeit of the Baal Shem, although some say it's the first day of Shavuos, but the yahrzeit of the Baal Shem Tov is on Shavuos. So he would say this over. So in the city of Brod, there was a very big guy who lived there, Rebbe Ephraim Kitover. And there was a certain machlekes which he had with another person, a certain asik, a business it seems like, and they had to take it to a rav. And they didn't want to go to another one of the rabbanim in that city because, you know, he may favor the Ephraim. So they decided that they would go to the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov was very young, but he was known at the time to be somebody who was good at making psharas, meaning coming to agreements. So, after the Psak Din, the Pshara that the Baal Shem Tov made on this case, which they both sides are very happy about, so the Baal Shem Tov said to Rebbe Ephraim, he says, can I speak to you privately in the other room? So, he took him aside, and the Baal Shem Tov revealed some inyanim about his madrigas, and he said, I want you to know that I am the husband for your daughter. And when the time comes, we're going to get married. But when that happens, you're not going to be in this world anymore. So I'm giving you a simon that your daughter should know that she should only marry the chassan who's proposed to her if she could see the shem havaya on his forehead. So Rabbi Ephraim heard that, and he was makabalit. And a short while after, he passed away. But he handed over to his daughter this simon. So now, who was in charge of her shidduch after the father passed away? Her brother, Rav Gershon Kitover, also a very big tzaddik, a very well-known tzaddik. At the time, there was no Baal Shem Tov, so he was, you can't call him a misnagid, but he certainly wasn't a chassid yet. And he was taking care of marrying off his sister. So when it came time, so there were prospects who were coming, and it seemed like there was going to be a very good match, and he was shown to the Kala, and she looked at his forehead, and she said, no, this is not for me. And then one day, there was a knock on the door, and it seemed like he was like an Ani. And Reb Gershon said, who are you? And he says, I'm the Zivug for your sister. So he tried to kick out this Ani, but he persisted. And then the Ani said, just let me see her. Just let me see her. Let her see me. And then he agreed. And then she took one look at the Baal Shem Tov. She saw the Havai on his forehead and said, this is my Zivug.
She was on the Madriga to see that also.
He gave her the Madriga. So many. There was a Talmud of Rav Baruch from Mezhbish. We spoke about Rav Baruch last year. Rav Baruch was an Einikol, grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. And he was the Gadol Hador in his time. And he received his Messiah directly from the Baal Shem. And one of the Chassidim of Rav Baruch once was thinking to himself, if I have a Rebbe like this, Rav Baruch, who is so great, and he couldn't imagine anything greater, he started to think to himself, how could the Baal Shem Tov have been greater than Rav Baruch?
Oh boy.
So Rav Baruch was taifis his machshava, he chapped his machshava, although he never said anything, but he chapped his machshava. So one day he was traveling together with the with Rav Baruch, this chassid, and he hopped out of the wagon to go to the bathroom or something like that. So then when that happened, Rav Baruch told the wagon driver just to leave, and to leave him in the forest. So he didn't know what was going on, and it started to rain like crazy. And he was looking for some shelter, and he found that it looked like a Yiddish house, there was a light on, and he went in, there was a mezuzah, and there was an Alta Yid who was sitting and learning. And he said to him, have you heard of my Rebbe, Rav Baruch? He invited him in, Rav Baruch, he said, I haven't heard of Rav Baruch, but I knew the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So, I'll tell you a story. We did this, yeah? That's right, we did. So he said he came, once the Baal Shem Tov came to his city, and he didn't want to be mevatel his learning to go greet the Baal Shem Tov. So one night, in the middle of the night, he was taking a walk outside, and he passed by the place, the house where the Baal Shem Tov was staying, and he looked through the window, and he saw that the Baal Shem Tov was like being Oisek and Kvitlach. He was reading Kvitlach, and you know, he thought to himself, you know, now at Chatzos, you know, it's a time to cry about the Churban Beis Hamikdash, you know, and Baal Shem Tov is busying himself with these papers. It didn't look like he was involved in anything so high. So he decided he was going to go back to the Beis Medrash and learn. So he went to the Beis Medrash, and he saw the Baal Shem Tov was sitting in the Beis Medrash, and he was crying, and he was doing Tikkun Chatzos. He says, it doesn't make any sense. He went back to the house, looked inside, the Baal Shem Tov was sitting over there reading the Kvilach, and he went back to the Beis Medrash, and the Baal Shem Tov was in the Beis Medrash. So he said, when I saw that he could be in two places at once, then I became chassid of the Baal Shem Tov.
Isn't there another version where he's sitting in the
Similar to another person somewhere.
Yeah?
He was talking to a woman, not like a Kvilach. The woman was
Rachel.
Rachel
Romana. Mm-hmm.
By
Tikkun
Chatzos. Yeah?
Okay. So. Was
the
Baal Shem Tov a twin?
What are you
Baal Shem Tov. The Yalav Rebbe used to say this. The Lahavas David. He said, once the Baal Shem Tov was sitting with his Talmidim and there was a cup on the table, Baal Shem Tov said, you need to believe that this kos, every second has a chiyus from the Ribbono Shel Olam. As soon as he said that, the cup shattered into pieces. Shattered to pieces. Rav Pinchas Karitzer, he once went over to the son of the Baal Shem Tov, Rav Tzvi, who we spoke about. And he said to him, you should know when I see you, I believe that the Baal Shem Tov was Basar V'dam. Because had he not had any children, I would have thought that he was a malach who came from the heavens. The fact that he had a child shows me that he was Basav Adam. Once on Tu Bishvat, this is a story from Rabbi Meir Arik. Now, Rabbi Meir Arik was not, he was the Gadol Hador in his time, and he wasn't a chassid, but he had heard stories about the Baal Shem Tov, and he only told stories which he was makabel ish mipi ish. A lot of the stories about the Baal Shem Tov, you know, some of them are legends, some of them are true. Some Rebbe used to say, anybody who believes in all the stories of the Baal Shem Tov is a fool. But anybody who believes in none of them is a bigger fool. Because if they're saying stories like this about the Baal Shem Tov, you can imagine, then a lot of them are true. And Tzadikim used to say that the Baal Shem Tov was on a madrega, that Mamash Mechaim Esim was Dvarim Pshutim by him. So he told over a story that he was once, he received an invitation from the city abroad to come there. And the Gadol Hador at the time was Reb Chaim HaKohen Rappaport. And he invited the Baal Shem Tov to explain his shita to the Beis Din. Of course, it was big hisnagdus, and it wasn't like, you know, a viciousness. He said, to come and to explain yourself. So, Reb Zev Kitzis, Zev Wolf Kitzis, he accompanied the Baal Shem Tov on this journey. And there was tons of snow on the ground, and it was Tu Bishvat, and the Baal Shem Tov was bitzar that he didn't have any payrus to make a shachianu. So he went over to a tree, and he said to the tree, the Baal Shem Tov, "V'yeda kol pa'ul ki ata pa'alta v'yavin kol yitzur ki ata yitzarta." That's what we say in Rosh Hashanah. That every in the times of Mashiach, everybody will know that they're a creation of Hashem. And as soon as he said that to the tree, it grew right away tamarim, dates, and the Baal Shem Tov was able to make shachianu. So Rav Zev Kitzis, he was like in shock as to what happened, and he said, perfect, we're on our way now to go to Brat, and the Baal Shem Tov's going to have to make a presentation. So what could be a bigger proof to the rayas, the godless of the Baal Shem Tov, if we come with dates? You know, who has dates in the middle of the winter, especially in those times? Not like there was international trading, that, you know, it would have shown that he made a maifis. So he quietly took some of them, and he put it in his bag, and he carried on. So he was going like this, he was excited, you know, to bring the proof, and the Beis Din started, and he says, aha! And he went into his thing, and he opened it up, and it was filled with water.
The month, it's like the month.
Huh? Yeah. So he turned to the Baal Shem Tov, knew what happened, and he turned to the Baal Shem Tov, and he said, Rebbe, what's going on? So he says, we don't win in Beis Din through Osos and Mofsim. He says, in Shemayim, they don't want that. There are other ways to prove our tzidkus than to have to use Osos and Mofsim. To have to prove it because of miracles.
Did he end up winning in Beis Din?
Oh, so from this story, we'll find out how Mistama he won in that Beis Din too. So Rav Meir Arik went on to, they asked him, they said, so then how did he prove himself? So he said, I'll tell you another story. So there was one of the two great Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, eventually was going to be the Hafla, and Rav Shmelka from Nicholsburg, who were brothers. And their father was a God of Israel. His name was a Pershal Charkover. And in the beginning, he was a Bissel Misnagid to the Baal Shem Tov. And a very big tzaddik, he wouldn't go to sleep at night until he made an accounting of every single thing which he did during the day, and including the psakim and beizim which he made. And then he was going over a certain psak that he had made in the Beis Din, and he was choshesh that maybe it was the wrong psak. He remembered a tosvis, and he thought he made a paskin, a wrong psak on an Isser Kares, and he was beside himself. And he thought to himself, what would I have done which would have brought me to make such a mistake like this? So he came to the conclusion that it's because he's not making enough attacks against the Baal Shem Tov. That's why. So he went on a trip to go to visit the Baal Shem Tov. It was in a nearby town at the time. So when he showed up to the Baal Shem Tov, so he saw that the Baal Shem Tov was coming out of the bathroom, and there were two women who were agunas that they couldn't find their husbands who came to ask the Baal Shem Tov for help. And the Baal Shem Tov came out of the bathroom. Reb Herschel heard, this is what he saw, the first thing he saw, the Baal Shem Tov turned to the women And he said to them, so if you're looking for your husbands, one is here and one is over there, and, you know, go find your husbands. They're both alive and well, and that's where they are. So when the Baal Shem Tov came out of the bathroom and he did that, he didn't even wash his hands. He just came out of the bathroom and before doing anything, he said that. So the Rosh was like, oh, I got the juice on the Baal Shem Tov. You know, he's pretending to make Ruach Kodesh without any washing his hands. So he looked at Rav Herschel, and he said, Herschel Chukover. He says, don't worry about the psak which you made the other night when you were which you think you made a mistake on the cover. He says, bring me a gemar. So he opens up that Tosfos and he says, this is how you read Tosfos. You're not reading Tosfos right. This is how you have to read the Tosfos. So Herschel has said. He says, from the Maisim, I wouldn't have been convinced. But the fact that you and I'm not convinced from the fact that you knew from the Tosfos. I mean, that you knew that I had a Shirat Tosfos. The fact that you knew how to tight pshat in Tosfos, that's how I know that you're a tzaddik.
It's a tzaddik of
Yeah. And he said, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umari. He says, even the Sitra Acha can make Maisim. But to say pshat in a Tosfos like that, Torah Semes, only a tzaddik could say. And he's a Kabbalim as his Rabbi. He says, but Rebbe, now he's talking to him as a Rebbe. He says, but Rebbe, he says, how come you came out of the bathroom and you didn't even wash your hands and you said, you know, he believes there's Ruach HaKodesh now. He says, you know why? He says, because I don't have time to busy myself when I can learn in Torah during the day to look into far places, he said. He says, because when I started to look at when the women came to me about where these people are, I saw that one of these guys was in a place where he really shouldn't be. Where Yid shouldn't be. I said to myself, when am I going to think about that when I can think in Torah? So when am I going to think about that when I go to the bathroom? So when I went to the bathroom, that's when I decided I was going to look where he was. So when I came out and I was still makusher to that Inyan, that's why I said where he is. That's why I said where he is. I'm just speaking about Netilas Yadayim, so you know that once by Shalosh Shudis, once by Shalosh Shudis, so the Baal Shem Tov was sitting there, and all of a sudden he said, "Kava Ner Maravi," that the Ner Maravi passed has been extinguished. And nobody knew what he was talking about. And then on Motzei Shabbos they heard the news that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh passed away. So they asked the Baal Shem Tov, "How did you know?" He says, "Because there's a kavana in the Tzilas Yadayim, which only one person in the generation knows that kavana, and that was given over to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh." But with the passing of the Rechaim HaKadosh, so it came to me. So I knew now that I was washing my hands for Shalosh Shudis, that I knew this Kavana, that the Rechaim HaKadosh had passed away. Because if he didn't have it, that means he had to have passed away. You know, the Baal Shem Tov made tremendous effort to go there to Yisrael in order to see the Rechaim HaKadosh. The Kamana writes about this. That one of them was from the Nefesh of David HaMelech and the other was from the Ruach of David HaMelech, and the merging of the two, the coming together of the two, would have brought Mashiach, and Baal Shem Tov tried very hard to get there. And he turned around in the middle of his journey. His boat was going to capsize, and there was all types of nesionos and manias to get there. He lost all of his learning and he persisted, and then basically he turned around and he came back. So the reason why he turned around and came back, the Mefursim, the simple way of understanding it, the basic way, the known way, is because it wasn't Shaykh to go weiter. But the Vision to Rebbe from Muncie said that he had heard from his father-in-law, who was the square Rebbe. He said, no, that's not the pshat. The Kabbalah is the opposite. That he was on his way to Eretz Yisrael, and then mid-journey, he thought to himself that, he said, what am I doing? He says, I could be Makariv more Yidden in Chutz La'aretz. I'll have more Hatzlacha in Chutz La'aretz than I'll have in Eretz Yisrael. And decided to go back. And it was when he decided to go back, that's when the Sitra Acha started with him. Mm-hmm. And he persevered to come back.
Wow.
I guess that's how you know it was the right decision.
Yeah. So again, Netilas Yadayim, interesting. Rav Nachman HaRadunker, who was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, he once saw the Baal Shem Tov washing his hands with Netilas Yadayim for Siddha, And he was able to see that it wasn't with the kavanas of the Arizal. So, he said, Rebbe, you know, I think that maybe the kavanas should have been different. So the Baal Shem Tov didn't say anything to me, like ignored his point. So it started to get dark and it was night and, you know, the candles blew out. And the Baal Shem Tov, so he, the Tamino at times were able to see when he had Aliyas Neshama. And they saw that he had a certain Aliyas Neshama. He went up and he came back down. And when he came, when that happened, so Rav Nachman Haradunker fell asleep. And then he woke up to Rav Nachman Haradunker and he said to him, so he says, so Nu, what do you have to say now? So he said that he, when he fell asleep, he had a dream and he was in the Masifta Derekiyah, in the base medrash upstairs. And they invited the Baal Shem Tov to come and to give a drasha, and he was darshaning about Netilas Yadayim. And everybody came and there was a big pilpul and that the Baal Shem Tov was saying over, and the Arizal was there. And he started to say, that's not how you do Netilas Yadayim. So he said, of course, that's how you do it. And they got into Homa Chlokes, and at the end, the Arizal said, Baal Shem Tov, you're right. So
that was mikvah. Don't we do that in the mikvah?
Yeah, okay. I know, you remember much better than me. I don't remember the stories anymore. So he said, that's, now that he understood, you know, why the Baal Shem Tov washed his hands the way he did. Even the Arizal was moided to the hand washing of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. You know, when the Baal Shem Tov had an inyan by Mincha Ner of Shabbos, when he davened Shemona Esrei, he had a very long Shemona Esrei for hours and hours. And Tzaddikim said that thousands and many, many thousands of neshamas would line up and they would get their tikkun from the Baal Shem Tov during that Mincha Shemona Esrei. That was a very special time of the week, especially during the Baruch of Mechaim Mason, because that's, you know, big Masakin, the neshamas was an inyan of Tchiyas Mason. So the Sisrael used to tell over the story, and it's a Mefursim story, where he would say that the tzaddik gets his koiches from his oilam. He said that once the Baal Shem Tov was in is one of the Shemona Esreis for hours and hours, and the Talmidim had finished the Shemona Esrei, and they left the room. And when they left the room, the Baal Shem Tov finished his Shemona Esrei. And they said, Rebbe, what happened? He says, well, when you left, I lost my Shemona Esrei. And I think he said over here, he doesn't quote this, but I think it says that the Baal Shem Tov warned them that if they ever did that again, it would make huge tragedies to the world. I mean, there was a very, he put the Baal Shem Tov in Sakana, and put the whole world in Sakana. It was a very sharp line, which, according to certain Gersas, is like what the Baal Shem Tov said about that, that he was very upset about it, that, just to leave him like that. There was once a fire in the house of the Degel Machane Ephraim, who was a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. And nobody was hurt, but the Degel was very upset about the fire. And they asked him, you know, they said, Rebbe, why are you so upset? He says, because once the Baal Shem Tov was spending Sukkot in the city of Brat, and this is before, and he was Mefursim, he was known. And the Mistagdim to the Baal Shem Tov, they made a coil saying that the Sukkot of the Baal Shem Tov is Pasul. And there was a big tumult in the city abroad. Oh, the Sukkot of the Baal Shem Tov is Pasul. So the Baal Shem Tov didn't care, but he saw that his people were getting worried. So he asked that they should bring him a piece of a paper, which is what they say here, Huxala Mitzvah, which is designated for Mitzvah. And he says that he put it underneath his arms, and he laid down on his arms on top of this piece of paper. And he was in very deep thought. And then when he picked up his head, he looked at the paper, and it said on the paper, the sukkah of Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, which he's sitting in, is a sukkah ksheira according to all deus. That's what it said. And it was like signed, like, you know, from the Beis and Shomala, somewhere like that. And there was a big simcha in the house of the Baal Shem Tov after that klaf. And Baal Shem Tov gave that klaf to the Degel Machane Ephraim. And he said to him, as long as you have this klaf, you will be healthy and you'll be strong and nothing can happen to you. He says, and so now that the house was in flames, he says that my kvittel was in that house. And he says, it's not a good siman for me. And just a few weeks later, he passed away. Maisa b'chol. I mean, we'll end with this. There was a Yid before the Bashemta became famous that he came to complain about he had lost a certain calf and lost his fortune because of that. So the Bashemta asked for a chamish, and he opened it up and he looked in the chamish and he said, "If you're looking for it, you'll find it in this and this place." So if Gershon Kitever, who was the, like we had said, the brother-in-law, he didn't yet know about the greatness of the Baal Shem Tov. He hid himself from him a lot. And he said, "How did you know?" So he said, "The Ganavim are in the Torah." So the Baal Shem Tov said, and this is a big teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. He says, the Gemara tells us that the light of Sheishis and Beresheis, which Hashem created the world with, that one can see from one end of the world to the next, Hashem, he buried it and he hid it. But the Gemara doesn't say where. The Baal Shem Tov said, you want to know where Hashem buried it? In the Torah. And if a person knows how to look into the Torah properly, he can access that light and look with that light from one end of the world to the next. And that was common by the Baal Shem Tov. He'd open up a Zohar, open up a Chumash, open up a Gemara. He was able, the whole Indian of the Baal Shem Tov was in his Torah Lishma, is to tap into that Or Dveikus, the light of Hashem, which is buried inside of the Torah. So he was able to access that light. Madrigas of the Baal Shem Tov. Anyways, this is just part one, maybe part two, three. There could be endless parts to the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, the stories of the Baal Shem Tov and the maifs of the Baal Shem Tov.